This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good evening. You have joined Kat and Gemma on Femme Fatale. Femme Fatale is a discussion and dissection of the issues facing women in life, health, relationships and the arts. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Gem.
How's your week been?
It's only Tuesday, but it feels later in the week to me.
It feels later in the week to me too. On tonight's show, we are bringing you a much hotted topic, for want of better grammar. We are talking about...
Exactly.
We are talking about the female orgasm. We're going to talk about myths, facts, why we fake it.
If we do.
We're going to talk about Meg Ryan, because how could we not? We're going to try and bring you the most candid, the most honest conversations on this topic that we possibly can. But we also want to know, have you ever faked it? If you have, why? Did your partner find out? Could you ever tell your partner or lover that you had faked it? And if so, why not? We really want to hear about what you think about this topic.
So during the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can also contact us via social media, we say these days. Just go to the Joy website and click on our show and it'll take you through the links. If you happen to have a smartphone, you can download the free Joy app and listen live, as well as send us messages straight from the app. Or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. That's FEMMEFATALE. So in case you hadn't worked it out, you're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and thank you for joining Femme Fatale. You're with Kat and Gemma and tonight we are talking about the female orgasm. Now, it's a very, contentious issue tonight, Kat, a bit of a hot topic, so to speak. But first we were listening to Beyonce and it was the Naughty Girl remix. You can text us anytime tonight on 0427-JOY949. Now, the next section we're going to take you through a little bit about the myths and facts of orgasms and what you can do if you're not completely satisfied or if you're not reaching the full potential in your sex life.
And, you know, there's the full potential thing. And then there are also women that can't orgasm at all. At least at this particular point in their lives. And obviously this can be something that's really frustrating and distressing. And there's actually a scientific medical name for it. It's called anorgasmia, and it's thought to occur in about 10% of women.
That's a lot.
Which is, yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's actually a lot of women. So it can be primary, as in the woman has never had an orgasm, or secondary, as in she has been able to orgasm at some point in the past but can't now. And it can also be global, as in no orgasming by any means.
Like she's like physiologically unable to orgasm? Is that what?
Well, at least that's how it presents.
Wow.
Or it could also be situational, as in you can orgasm in certain sexual situations but not for others. So, for example, masturbation might work but sexual intercourse might not work.
So how do we differentiate between anorgasmia, a medical condition, and actually I'm just not very, you know, good at orgasming in some situations?
Or at this point, yeah.
Yeah, how do doctors differentiate?
Well, interestingly enough, as it often is the case with women's sexuality, there's not a lot of research.
Oh, women's sexual health?
Yeah.
Really under-researched, particularly in the queer community?
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Exactly. So I guess it's one of those things that, you know, it isn't a medical ongoing condition if one day you happen to orgasm again.
Right person, right place, right time, perhaps.
Yeah. And I think that people often don't realise that orgasming is something that you can get better at.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because I think that's really important to know. Is an orgasm a skill or is it nature? Do we have control over it? And when I was younger, I thought I had no control over it and it either happened or it didn't. But as I've kind of matured into my sexuality and my sexual relationships, I realized the ball is in my court, so to speak. I can, you know, I can get better at it and I can learn more about my body. I can be more insightful into, you know, what's good for me and what's not, and working with my partners to help me get to where I want to be rather than, well, sexually, rather
just
than
throwing your hands up in the air and
going,
hoping
oh,
for the
well,
best.
You know, so yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But first, we're going to dive into some of the myths relating to female orgasm. We're going to break it down one at a time and just and get your take on it, Kat. An orgasm is always an earth-moving experience, and there is something wrong with a woman if she is unable to reach orgasm.
Oh, look, I think that, well, I guess...
But do you think that's a current myth? Do you think some people out there actually think that?
Yes, I definitely think that some people out there think
and especially that. The part about, you know, thinking there's something wrong with you if you can't orgasm with your partner or even on your own. And I just want to throw it out there that a lot of younger women coming into their sexuality in their early 20s definitely experience this, and it is a myth. It does get better with time.
Yeah,
and
it really does.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
And not just practice with partners, practice with self, really. The best way to get to know your body and what works for you is to explore.
But I think the more common problem is not necessarily not being able to orgasm, but when women don't have very powerful orgasms. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there in the media or, you know, perhaps your partner or wherever you're getting this information from or, you know, experiences from. You might be with someone who has, like, mind-blowing, earth-shattering, moving orgasms and you don't. Mm. Then, obviously, I think that, you know, the initial thought is going to be that there's something wrong with the way that you're orgasming.
I just want to throw it out there. Orgasm is different for every woman. Every time, at every different point in our lives, I will orgasm with a different intensity in a different way and never the same way twice. You know, like, I don't know if in all my years I've experienced the exact same orgasm ever twice.
I'd also say that, well, at least from my experience, again, it's something that you get better at, that your body gets better at.
But I also
think that I orgasm a lot more powerfully, let's say, now than I did when I was a teenager, for example.
Well, I think that, you know, as I've gotten to know my body better, I tend to orgasm differently depending on where I'm at in my cycle or what my hormones are doing.
That's a definite.
And I think that people need to understand that, and women need to understand that and pay attention and tune into their bodies and understand that if you're just not getting off, so to speak, it can be completely hormone related. You know, in 4 weeks, I mean 4 days, or you know, 7 days time, it may be a totally different story. Depends on what your body's telling
Absolutely.
You and wants and needs. And I just don't think as women we are, or you know, especially when we're younger, we get better at it when we're older, if we've had the right lessons and the right people in our life to show us that tuning into our body is the only way to really know what is going to get us where we want to go.
Then there are so many things that can get in the way. I mean, especially if you're a woman, physiologically, the way that we
Definitely.
Orgasm is different from men. And, you know, this, situational factors
and
lifestyle factors.
This brings me to my next
factors.
Myth, Catherine Ann.
Okay.
Myth two, normal women, in inverted commas, reach orgasm through intercourse. Now, we weren't going to talk about this, but I'm bringing it up now because that was the next segue, and that all women have orgasm or reach orgasm in a different way. And now we're saying, depending on hormone cycles and that kind of thing, we could orgasm in a different way, a different time, at different points in our cycle or in our lives or in our maturity or depending on the partners that we've had. So normal women don't reach orgasm any particular way is what I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Though, I mean, historically the debate has always been about clitoral orgasm versus vaginal orgasm.
Yes.
You know, and that whole body of literature that said that you know, immature women or girls have clitoral orgasms and then they graduate to
wow.
vaginal orgasms. And of course this was disproven decades
ago. I'd never
ago.
Heard that before
oh,
until
really?
Right now, and I'm so belittled.
Right, no, well, yeah, that was the common thinking, but I think it was debunked at some point in the 60s. But even it's still sort of a point of contention whether or not the vaginal orgasm actually exists.
Yeah.
I was recently reading a study. A whole lot of different scientists got together and measured brain function while women were orgasming. And it turned out that when different parts of their genitals were stimulated, different parts of their brains were lighting
wow.
up. So... To cut a long story short,
that's awesome.
They came to the conclusion only, as often happens in medical literature, that there just really wasn't enough evidence to show that clitoral orgasms are the only way. So it basically it's leaving the door open to say vaginal orgasms do possibly exist, even though they may be somehow related to the clitoral orgasm. Basically, again, no one really knows.
And that's going to be a lot of the topic, a lot of the resolution we end up with at the end of a lot of this conversation. Myth number three, if a woman cannot reach orgasm, then her partner is not a skillful lover.
Oh, ouch.
Ouch. Oh, gosh. Ouch, double ouch. I don't even know what to say to that.
Look, that one's really interesting.
I'm blushing.
Because I immediately want to say, well, that's ridiculous. Of course not. There are lots of different reasons why a woman can't orgasm. And I know that for myself, it doesn't really matter to me so much whether I orgasm or not. I mean, I suppose that's easy to say because I do find it easy to orgasm.
Now.
Later I didn't.
In life.
Yeah, later in life I do, but I certainly hasn't always been like that. But my point being that I don't care so much if I do, but yes, actually I really do care if my partner does.
And this is,
but that
this
doesn't
is,
make any sense.
This is what I wanted to bring up. I think the pressure around orgasm during sex with your partner or your lover is not a pressure that your partner is placing on you so much as a pressure that you're placing on yourself, because you know that to make your partner orgasm makes you feel good. And so you realize during sex that if you don't have an orgasm, your partner might not get that feeling of having done a really good job or being able to give you something. And so you feel the pressure for them indirectly, but it's not a direct pressure where they need you. Do you know what I mean? It's not coming from them. And I think that's a really important point. The pressure comes from within us to please the other person. And sometimes that stress or that tension in the way we're thinking about orgasm is enough to mean it doesn't happen because we're stressing
you're
about it
in
too
a stressful
much.
Situation.
Yeah, that's it. And it's definitely the case. I always get really worried in new sexual relationships or in sexual relationships that, you know, it's just a little bit fresh and we're all starting out and you guys know as well as I do, every woman is different. And every time I, you know, start a new relationship, I find it takes a little while to get in the swing of what swings.
And I mean, I guess we all know this, but it comes down to the fact that communication is important. And I, you know, fundamentally, I believe that everyone is responsible for their own pleasure. So, you know, it's important to communicate what works for you and what doesn't work for you. I'm not saying that that can't be an absolutely terrifying thing, especially at the beginning of a new sexual relationship.
Definitely. But it's really daunting. Okay, so I don't know if you have, Kat. I definitely have dated or been a lover to someone who found it incredibly difficult to orgasm, and it was really hard for them to be able to reach that level of comfort and to let go. And that's the other thing I wanted to bring up was the letting go. It's really frustrating to be with someone who can't orgasm, but not because they can't orgasm, but because I want to help them let go with me. And they struggle, and I am frustrated for their struggle, but I'm not frustrated for my own pleasure that I want to make them have an orgasm, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And in those kind of relationships, and I have to say that it was usually with younger women, that I had to, you know, take them through a different approach of, you know, relaxing them and, you know, going, encouraging, getting them to understand about their body and understand about themselves and how, and take all the pressure off. And only then was it even remotely possible for them to conceive of fully enjoying themselves.
And then
sexually.
What happened for you then though? Did you feel validated?
Look, it's just an interesting process. I mean, someone went through that with me and I'm so grateful that they did. It changed my world. And I
think that's a really good point.
I think that it's something that we have to take on in terms of it's a responsibility that we're all going to have at some point to have a more inexperienced lover. And it's our job and our responsibility to make sure that they go through those first sexual stages in their life in an encouraged, supported, communicated relationship where they know that it's okay not to orgasm every time. That's just not nature.
I agree. And we're really interested in what you think as well. So write in and tell us your experiences, thoughts, fears, problems. During the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can use the smartphone app or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au.
Good evening and you're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Anytime during the show, you can text us on 0427-JOY949. We were just listening to Black Velvet by Alana Miles.
I haven't heard that for a really long time.
It was my all-time favourite song for a very long time. And it's a very sexy song. Quite fitting for what we're talking about. On tonight's show, we are discussing the female orgasm. We just talked about the myths and the facts, and now we're going to talk about why we fake it. Have you ever faked it? Have you ever been caught faking it? Have you ever caught somebody else faking it? And later on the show, we're going to talk about our most embarrassing orgasm moments.
Or other people's, as the case may be.
Or both.
So, faking it. This is something that no one wants to admit to. And so unsurprisingly, I guess, there's actually quite a lot of research into fake orgasms, but it's a bit all over the place. So a new, one of the most recent surveys that I've looked at revealed that over a quarter of women admit to faking it every time they have sex.
I just want to put it out there. This survey was very geared toward heterosexual women.
It wasn't just very geared. It was geared towards heterosexual
exactly.
women.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So just to point out there that, again, a little bit of underrepresentation for the queer community in terms of this kind of research into sexual health issues, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But we're going to try and shed some lesbian light on it.
Well, we certainly will. Look, one thing that I did think that was interesting that I found in my reading was that around 18% of men also said that they had faked it at least twice.
I know someone who has, and I won't name it on radio, but I'm going to tell the story later.
Oh, great. A lot of people also say that they've never faked it, I should point out as well, and that's about 30% of women. But again, as I said, the stats are all over the place. Some studies say, you know, as many as 70 to 80% of women fake orgasm regularly.
I want to hear from you. Do you fake it? Have you faked it? We won't say your name on air. We'll just tell your story because they're too delicious not to talk about.
And can you tell? I had this conversation with someone recently, and often people are very confident that they could tell, but I'm not so sure about that.
Sometimes I can't tell whether I've even, you know, made that happen or not. But you know what? If it sounds like they're enjoying it, even if they don't orgasm, chances are they're probably enjoying it. I have to say, I've never faked having a good time.
Though we did speak to someone earlier this evening who said that he had.
He had faked having a good time.
Yep.
Have you ever faked having a good time? That's a whole other conversation. Moving right along, Catherine Ann. Catherine Ann, have you ever faked an orgasm?
I have indeed done that, yes.
When and why?
Oh, you say when like it was just the one time, Gemma.
I say when as in like was it distinct to a different period in your life? Were you going through something? Was it a particular partner? Was it a particular unhealthy relationship? Why? Ooh. What were the circumstances?
Okay, all of the above. I guess, and the conversations that I've had with people about this over the years, it's one that most people agree with, or most women agree with. I've certainly faked it in situations where I wanted to get the experience over with as quickly as possible.
When you want to say stop and you just can't, so you fake it. Isn't that probably one of the only reasons I've ever faked it? When I just wanted it to stop and I couldn't because of whatever, you know, emotional concerns I had for the raising person, a conversation, yep, that I didn't want to have to raise, or making someone feel bad about themselves, but that I wasn't having a good time, but I didn't want to tell them that.
Yeah, so. Same. So, I have done it in those circumstances. I've done it because, yeah, I was bored and I didn't want to hurt the other person's feelings. Oh. I also, I think when I was much, much younger, probably because I felt like it was expected of me.
Mm.
So predominantly, I think I have been guilty of faking it during heterosexual sex.
Mm. Good yeah, point.
Especially when I was younger, didn't really understand why I was kind of a little
I can bored. Definitely safely say I have faked it more with men than I've ever had to with women.
When you say had to.
Yeah, had to.
Why do you think you have to? Or why do you, why do you feel
to be
in
honest,
circumstances that you have to?
In the point where I am right now in my life, I wouldn't do it because I believe healthy sexual relationships are open, they're communicative, and we talk about it. If I haven't had an orgasm, I may not have not been having a good time. I might have been having an amazing time. And for whatever reason, within my own body, I might not have been able to let go in that particular occasion. And, you know, we either talk about it, we don't talk about it. But I know my partner well enough to know that they won't take it to heart. But when I was younger, I felt this uber pressure that there was something wrong with me, myth number two, if I didn't. And so I thought that my partner would think that I wasn't a good lover if I didn't have an orgasm. But to be really honest, I didn't know how to have an orgasm with somebody else. So a lot of my first heterosexual encounters were involved a lot of faking it. And I remember the first time I didn't have to, and I wanted to cry for hours. I thought it was a myth. This orgasm thing was a myth.
Mm.
And I had such an emotional release, but it took a lot of mental strength to be able to let go enough to have my first orgasm.
I remember, I just remembered the first time that I had an orgasm during heterosexual sex. And I was so blown away by the experience. Again, I felt really, I'd almost, come to think that it wasn't real. And I was so blown away by the experience. Unfortunately, as it turned out, it was with someone I'd been dating for a while. So I guess that I had faked it up to that point. Because I certainly remember that he was not impressed by the fact that this was kind of the first time.
And he didn't know it was your first time.
No.
See, now I'm...
Not until I told him.
I'm the kind of lover who'll always ask, if I'm not sure if you have gotten to where you want to go, I want to know. And I'm going to ask you, did you get to where you wanted to go?
But would you have done that when you were much younger?
No, but that's what I'm saying. It came with maturity. It came with having really good relationships where I learned I was having sex before I could communicate. Now I can communicate. I have really good sex. That's what I'm saying. It's about communication and comfort to communicate. If you don't feel comfortable to communicate with your partner, then you're probably not in a healthy sexual relationship. And therefore, orgasm is probably not going to be on the top of the list of things that happen when you dine out.
When we come back, what I want to do is talk about how people fake it, how they manage to pull it off, so to speak, whether or not it's convincing, and exactly the kind of process that you would go through. But before we do that, I think that I would like to play this soundbite. It's probably the most famous fake orgasm
in the media.
In media. And I'm pretty sure that you will all recognise it. Feel free to write into us during the break. You can text us on 0427-JOY-949. You can email us. You can Facebook us. You can do whatever you like. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
I'll have what she's having.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Now, tonight we are talking about orgasms, the female orgasm, fake orgasms. Have you ever faked it? If you have, we want to hear about it. We want to know why. We want to know what pressured you to have to fake it. Are you having good sex in your relationship? Now, this is a pretty hot topic, and Kat and I have been trying to shed some light on things. Now, just before, for those of you who needed to be told, we were listening to the soundbite of Meg Ryan having an orgasm on screen. Now, of course, it was a fake orgasm. It raises the question, can you tell, have you ever sprung your lover, partner, one night stand faking it? And what did you do? Did you ignore it? Did you raise the issue? Did you talk about it openly and honestly in an organic way? We want to know your take on this.
Well, have you ever noticed someone faking it, Jim?
I've never noticed someone faking it. I've known in my heart that they haven't had an orgasm, and I've led them to believe that I
was, that you were convinced.
Yeah, no, look, I, there's a whole thing about, you know, there's faking it and then there's faking having a good time. I know when people are having a good time, you can genuinely tell, but I can't always tell when the person has definitely had an orgasm. It's such a grey area in our physiology as to whether we actually orgasm or not. So I've never sprung someone. Have I ever faked it? Definitely I have faked it. Would I do it now? Probably not. If I have to fake having a good time or fake having an orgasm, then I'm probably in a sexual relationship I don't want to be in, and it's probably not going to last very long. So no. Now, I do know someone who did fake it once, a man.
Which oh,
is,
really?
Well, it came up before that it's one of the hardest orgasms to fake. And so not to embarrass this person, I won't name them on air, but he was in a heterosexual relationship and he was not enjoying the sex at all. For some reason, they just weren't sexually compatible. And he faked the orgasm to the point, you know, where he had to quickly roll over and hide the evidence before it could be spotted, which I think is amazing. I think that it's amazing that men, didn't want her to feel bad about herself and about her body, which is a really admirable, honourable thing. But, you know, maybe he felt like it was his fault. Maybe he felt like it was her fault. Maybe it was a bit of a grey area in there. Anyway, that
so she didn't notice.
She didn't notice. And that relationship didn't last long, I assume.
Oh, that's something that I want to touch on a little bit as well is, I mean, we talk about it, we'll use the word faking, but really we should be using the word lying, because what you're actually doing is lying to the person that you're having sex with. And it does throw up a lot of questions about what lying, even in that particular capacity, what effect that can have on a relationship. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We've got quite a few messages coming through, so we're going to talk about your responses and experiences as well. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Thank you, Gemma. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9, and tonight we are talking about the orgasm. What's good about it? What can be challenging about it? Faking it, whether or not that works, and how we feel about all of those things.
We really want to talk about how faking an orgasm in particular is like lying.
Yes, it is like lying.
Is it like lying or is it flat out lying?
It is lying, as far as I'm concerned.
Ouch.
Well, it is.
Okay, but sometimes I might fake it because by no, you know, direct reason that the audience is, I mean, the audience, that my partner is doing.
How are you having sex, Gemma?
With the audience. don't tell anyone. It's a secret on Melbourne Radio.
It was a secret, yeah.
No, by no fault of anything my partner is doing. Perhaps I am tired. Perhaps I have had a really stressful day. Perhaps I just can't get to where I usually get, even though they're doing the same thing that would usually get me there. And I don't want to hurt their feelings because it's really not their fault. And I know it's because I just can't relax.
Yeah.
Is it still like lying?
Yeah, ethically speaking, that makes no difference. It's just that it's a white lie.
I don't want you to
I'm not saying it's a big bad lie and, you know, that all sorts of terrible punishments will happen. However, I do think that lying in a relationship of in whatever capacity, if it's something as important as sex, if it's a one-off, whatever, I think that's okay. But if it becomes a habit, then I think it... It's. I'm not saying for ethical reasons your relationship will fall apart, but I think that for communication reasons, your relationship may not, you know, bear up under the pressure of that.
I really want to support that and say to all of our listeners, if you are in a sexual relationship where you have to lie and fake it and can't talk about what's really going on for you in your body and what makes you tick, and not just because you're scared, because you can't talk about it, you're probably not in a healthy relationship at all, and you should look at, you know, moving into broader horizons or learning, you know, some strength on how to communicate. But if you really feel unsafe communicating about how you feel in relation to sex or communicating in general, then...
relationship.
Healthy relationships are really important, and healthy sex is a good part of healthy relationships, and healthy communication is a good part of both. So that's what we...
Wise words, Gemma. Wise words.
Yes. And I still occasionally fake it from time to time. Not recently, haven't needed to, just so you know. That's all I'm saying. Moving on. We're going to hear from some of our listeners. Now, we've had so many people write in and want to talk about this hot, hot topic. One person wanted to know, do we get to hear renditions? And I would say, maybe if you're really, really good, I will give you my best fake orgasm on air. If you want to hear that, you better text in right now. If I get 5 texts in the next 2 minutes, I will do a fake orgasm on Live Joy Radio. Moving right along. Sarah from Noble Park says, I get orgasms and I will stop before I get there. How do I get over that and go for it? This is a really, really good point and something we both want to talk about, Kat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do have advice on this issue.
I know you do.
Because I think it's something that is pretty commonly experienced. And it's a tough one because you need to be relaxed, I guess, in order to actually orgasm.
But sometimes thinking about being relaxed makes you more stressed. So don't think about relaxing.
But I guess it's about setting up the environment so that it can be as relaxing as possible. Because, yeah, you're exactly right. If you know that you've got to relax in order to come, then you're not, you know, the same thing is going to happen anyway. You're going to get just to that point and go, now I'm supposed to relax. And
I've been doing this a while now, and I have to tell you, I still... every time get to that point.
And talk yourself through it?
And I'm getting better at it, but let me just say this to you, Sarah. It takes practice. It's not going to be something that happens the first time and you go, oh, I know how to do it now, I'm going to do it every time. Every time you might have to work at it, because I can safely tell you from my own experience, there is a mental switch in the back of your mind and you need to learn how to flick it. For everyone, it's different. You have to find out what yours is, and that's going to take practice. I would suggest working through it on your own, finding out if you can have an orgasm on your own and how that works and what you're thinking about. Pay attention. What is that switch in the back of your head that lets you let go and go for it? If you can figure that out when you're on your own, you've got a really, really good chance of letting it happen with a partner. And when you finally do for the first time, it feels amazing.
Absolutely.
Okay, the next comment is, what about being 30 years old and due to terrible experiences when you are younger, you still can't let go and feel like a novice every time and can't get past it? I'm really glad that someone wrote in and said that, because, you know, environmental factors in our youth definitely play a part. They definitely play a role in our ability to, you know, that switch I talked about earlier. I think for a lot of different people who've had some bad experiences, that switch can get turned off almost permanently. And I don't, you know, there isn't any one way to go about it, but definitely talking about it with a therapist if you've had really bad experiences in your youth, seeking help, talking to someone about it in an open way, breaking down some of those mental and emotional barriers are a really important step. And sometimes, you know, you've acknowledged that it's a letting go issue and that you feel like a novice every time, but do you know what? Right person, right place, right time, for the right person, for you to help you feel relaxed and encouraged and with the right amount of support in your life, I have no doubt that you can get to where you want to go. And letting go is the key, but also not pressuring yourself, just taking your time with it, I think is really important. Mm. And thanks for writing in. It's really courageous. And thanks for giving us a little bit of your story. I think that's really amazing. Thank you. That we've had a lot of people just say that it's really awesome to hear this topic on the radio, and it's something we felt really strongly about discussing and talking about, because it's something that's not talked about enough, Kat.
No, I agree. And of course, because it's something that's, you know, I guess somewhat of a taboo subject, it means that a lot of the things that people worry about are things that they worry about for years and never really get out there in the open and realize that just about everyone else is having the same experience as well. But coming back to fake orgasms, Jem, because we are just about to wind up for the night, I believe you had some things you wanted to say about experiences or embarrassing moments or
I did really, really want to touch on some embarrassing moments during sex. And we might touch on it briefly next week because we are going to run out of time and this is a hot topic. But what is your most embarrassing sex moment? We want to hear all about it. That sounds like a juicy story. Mine is definitely my vocality. I get really embarrassed about how loud I am. And it's a constant battle I have with flatmates and...
As your flatmate, I can vouch for this.
Thanks for that, Kat. Yeah, it's a constant issue that I have. But my, you know, the way I want to, you know, maybe address the person that wrote in as well, both of them, the way I learned to let go was to make a lot of noise, and it gets me there every
single time. Research
bears
that out as well, that being vocal can actually help you to relax physically as well, and also to, you know, get more into it.
Yeah, it gets me across the line every time. That was my switch. I had to let go vocally, and it let me let go in my body. So try it. Let us know how it goes. We want to know.
And unfortunately, we're out of time, so you don't get to hear about my most embarrassing sex moments. But, you know, maybe we'll talk about this next week.
Next week.
Until then, have a great week. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.